I pray tonight that you hear what we've been declaring. I believe God sets the pace. I believe God declares things in our hearts, and God's put some things in my heart, because I just hear sometimes we don't remember, we don't understand what we say sometimes with our mouth, that they mean something. They really do. I mean, your words have power to them. The Bible says, confess with your mouth. It begins with a confession. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. And I began to teach this series because I had somebody come to me, and nobody here, and you don't know the person, but they said to me, they said, I feel like I just enter one tomb and go into another tomb. When I heard that, I felt God just stir my heart. And He says that He's been deceived because it's not a tomb, but it's a womb. Come on, wombs produce life. Come on, it brings forth life. Only thing in a tomb is death. Come on, amen? Only thing in a tomb is death. And God began to stir my heart that I want you to see that there's purpose in your life. Come on, there's purpose in your pain. Come on, the things that you've been through in your life, they're for purpose. They're for the glory to God, amen? That we can understand that our pain needs to pay us. Come on, amen? But we let our pain... Come on, we pay for our pain. When we go through things, that we go through these things and there's nothing through, we don't see any results, we don't see anything from that. But I want you to know that with understanding that God has, and know who He is, and know that He's with you, and know that He's for you, we can understand that our pain will produce something in our life, that our sufferings that we go through will produce something, that you come forth out of a womb and not a tomb. Come on, amen. Not a death place, but a life place. Come on, a place that's alive. I want the things that I go through to have purpose. I want them to pay. Hallelujah. I want them to pay. That they have results in it. That the things I go through in my life, the things that I went through, that God will use them for His glory. Serve them up. Hallelujah. Right in front of your enemy. See, take and see and look what God has done. Your life. Tell someone your life. Come on, He's talking about you. Everything you go through. Come on, I look out there tonight and I see value of life. I see every one of you, I know a lot of your pains, I know a lot of things you've been through. God says, I want to make it pay. When we lift our hands and we let God reign, it will pay. Hallelujah. It will reign. It will reign. Favor upon your life. But it's being at that place, that vulnerable place where that we trust God and know that this is just the womb. This is just a beginning. It's just a season. Come on, we go through seasons in our life and moments in our lives, every one of us. And they're like wombs. And I want you to just stop and think about the wombs that you've been in your life. The seasons and stages that you have come out of to enter in another place. A womb is a place of growth. It's a place of nourishment. It's a place to be developed in that place, in that area, in that stage, that you can birth out of that thing. So we go through these places in our lives. It's just one after the other. But these are purposed by God. They're purposed by God. I want to be in the midst of it and see that the pain and suffering that we might go through in life, that it brings glory to God. That in the midst of it, that you can look at me and taste and see that God is good. And my life is valued. Every moment of my life from the moment you've been born has been purposed for God. Destined for His purpose in your life. To see it come to pass. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just pray that we have understanding. I pray to God, Lord, that we break out. We break forth out to God. Lord, that we open our hearts, God, that we become vulnerable in a place of trusting You, knowing Your voice like we've never known this year. That we know Your voice, that we hear. You said, God, Lord, that Your sheep know Your voice. But God, Lord, that we can go through things because we know You. And we can face them because we know, like a father, that his father's love for his children, our Lord, is intense. It's immense. It's overwhelming. That even though these things that we go through, God, Lord, that we can trust you because we know your ways. Lord, I thank you. Amen. Thank you. You know, that's the thing that, see, Moses knew the ways of God. He knew the ways of God.
I know you're cold, but I'm hot. So anybody needs a sweater here.
Amen. Amen. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on what we talked about last week because I want to get into what is next. Amen. The word Egypt means to come out of. It means out of Egypt. And I just want to take a moment that we've talked about how that we experience these wombs, these places in our lives where that every one of you could just stop and think in your life whether you've had an experience where you've come out of something and into development, but to enter into something new. And we can know that we could see that you emerge out of those places, that you emerge, but it's not always easy to emerge out of these places. And we can see here with Egypt where that there was a purpose in Egypt. Come on, amen. There was a purpose in Egypt. There was a place that Joseph came into, that place that God used him in the midst of that place to heal his people, to set them free, to give them food, amen, to nourish them. But it was only a womb for a certain time. Come on, amen. And they were only going to be there for a little while because even Joseph told the children of Israel that God's going to come and visit you. Come on. That you're going to come out of this womb. That we got to pay attention. We got to begin to know that we can't. To know that we can't just stay in a certain place, that we got willing to change and to be transformed, to have a greater understanding of who He is, amen? That we can understand His ways, amen? His ways are higher than my ways. And I could trust Him. And I want you to know the things that we go through will become a little bit easier when we know who He is. And we know how He does things, amen? I want you to know my life has become easier when I know that God is for me, not against me, amen? So here they are, the children of Israel, that God, Moses or Joseph told them. He says, God's going to come and visit you. When He does, don't forget to take my bones with you out of this place. See, he had an understanding to knew that it was just a womb. It was only just for a moment, just for a little place, that there was a place of preparation, that God was preparing them to move out of one place and into another. You know, I want you to hear this and know that God disrupts your plans. That's what God does. See, because He loves you. See, I want you to know that my father loved me so much that he disrupted my plans all the time and I didn't like it. See, it was my summer to do nothing. But my father had a garden that I had to plant and to had to weed and I had to spend time cutting the grass. He disrupted my time. But see, my father did it with purpose. He was teaching me something. I didn't even understand it. I just thought he was being mean. Come on, help me. Come on, I just thought he was being mean. I would always take it right to the edge. I learned to get things done quick. It's because I knew that I had to have it done before Dad comes home. But I wanted to have some time for me, so I took that time to the end. But as long as I got it done, it got done. Sometimes, you get what I'm saying. But God disrupts sometimes your plans. And I want you to see it here in the understanding that God, that we can follow the pathway of what God did, that He disrupted the plans that the children of Israel planned because they weren't meant to be slaves. Somebody go help me tonight. Come on. Listen, see, they weren't meant to be slaves. They weren't meant to be slaves. They were meant to be free. They were meant to be the example, to be the head and not the tail. They were the chosen ones of God to lead by example, to be the ones to show the way. Amen? To be the expression of God in the earth. They were a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. But they were living as slaves. Sometimes we live under that place and we got to birth out of one place to another. We're not meant to be there. And sometimes we get comfortable where we are. And that's where they were. They were comfortable where they were. And in the midst of that, see, sometimes we got to know that God is pushing you out of where you've been comfortable before so that you can go in to experience another dimension of who He is. And it gets easy to get in that place, but God disrupts your comfort. You find a chair that's just right for you. Come on, you been there? You find a people, or you find certain situations, just people that just are just like you, just like talk to you. God will put somebody in the midst of you that disrupts that way. You never been there? Come on, God will put somebody around you that will disrupt your plans. Come on, God does something in the midst of it, brings you into something new. So here they are. I want you to see this, Egypt. And they were at a place of confinement. They were at that place where they, you know, I want you to think about it. You guys all know that I told you the story of my wife had the bag packed and everything ready to go, and she didn't even come home. She went straight to the hospital. I had to go get the bag. This isn't my plans. Kristen disrupted my plans. When that baby's coming out, you there's no chance to go get your makeup and your hair done. When the baby's coming, it's coming now. Come on, amen. Do you ever see some of the stories when they're driving down the road? That's not my plans. That's not the way that I thought this thing out. This is not the way it went in my mind. I didn't think in my mind how it was going to work out, but it worked out the way that it should work out. But I want you to see this and understand that sometimes He disrupts it. He disrupts the way things go. And sometimes it's a struggle to emerge, to break forth out of that. But God begins to move us, and this is the way God is. He begins to shake us, and we don't like to be shaken. Sometimes God wants us to, He wants to transform us. He wants to move us from one place. God's always moving. Come on, we can look over the Bible. If we don't understand who God is, we'll never understand why we're going through the things we're going through. But God's always moving. He's always on the move. Come on, amen. He's always disrupting things that you've become comfortable with. Sometimes we're okay with just being slaves to something. Come on, whether it's an addiction or whatever that things that you've been addicted to being abused or being hurt, that you get caught in that place, and God's going to disrupt it because He loves you. Come on, thank Him. Come on, thank Him for that. Thank you, God, that you've disrupted some things in my life. Come on, now I'm here tonight because He's disrupted some things. I could have been in other places and not let God bring me to this place, but I'm here tonight because God has disrupted some things in my life. I want to thank Him for it. I'm praising God because He disrupted some things, because I want you to know, if it wasn't God disrupting some things in my life the way that I thought the way church was supposed to be, He disrupted the way I thought things were supposed to be. And because of that, I'm here today. Because of that, I can lift up my hands and worship His name. Because of that, I'm not afraid of what anybody thinks about how I lift up my name, the name of the Lord. Or whether I talk about Him in public, or what I say. Why? Because He disrupted me as being a drug addict. He disrupted that moment where I was comfortable with being a slave in bondage to that. He disrupted it because He loved me. Just leave me alone, God. Come on, I remember that. I remember just feeling that way. Just leave me alone. You're moving with me, son. You're not going to stay in Egypt no more. You're not going to stay bound, hallelujah, in this place, but I'm going to move you. That's what God does. He doesn't mess with you because He doesn't like you. He loves you. He's called you. So I just want you to look back at some of the things you've went through and realize that it was a womb, not a tomb. Come on, it's not a place to die at. It's not that we can't look back on our history, but realize that if we keep looking back on our history, we'll never see our destiny. And the purpose of God performed. God brings us out of balance. He wants us to have faith, not in sight. Come on, amen. The moment seems things start to get good. Listen, I want you to think about this, because sometimes the moment you begin to get good at something or where you're at or what you're doing, all of a sudden, God will disrupt it. And you realize you need Him. It's those moments that when you feel weak, it's Him that's strong. So God will disrupt those moments when you think you got it all together, when you got it all planned. It's time to graduate. Time to move on. Amen? So let's look at Exodus. Are you okay? See, the longer we stay in here, the warmer it's going to get. So amen. Listen, Exodus 2. We left off last week at this place where that Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter shall be saved. He was born under these conditions. It wasn't a very good environment. The whole world was against him. Come on. He was born under this environment where it was out to get him. Come on, amen. Right when he came out of the womb, he was in there for 9 months, but when he came into another environment, that environment was trying to destroy him. Someone was out to get... Come on, do you ever feel that way? That it seems like sometimes somebody's out to get you. Am I talking? I appreciate it. I don't know, I felt that way sometimes. Come on, when that guy said that, he says, it feels like I've been in a tomb, I can kind of agree in some ways with my flesh. I can say, yeah, okay, I know what you mean. I feel like someone putting a rock on me every time I turn around. Throwing dirt down on me. I can't get out of the pit. But listen to this. And he says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife and a daughter, and a woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. So he was in one womb, say one womb, for 9 months. But then he entered into another womb. It was hidden in the house. But he was only going to stay in this place for 3 months. And his mother hid him in this place where that she went against the culture, the way things were, that she hid him in this place. And I want you to, can you imagine the 3 months that she experienced this, that she knew that what she was doing, but something within her that she wasn't doing, going the flow of what everybody else did. She wasn't knowing that she was going against the protocol, the way things were in the world, that she was disrupting things because something was within her causing her to say that you have to hold on to this child. Amen. See, God knows there's something more. There's something more that you don't understand why you keep holding on, why you keep standing and going through it. But God's doing something. God's working something. So she held on to this baby for 3 months, hid him in the house. But it came to a place where he couldn't stay there no more. But here he goes. He goes from another womb. And says that the mother built an ark. Just picture this. And she took the baby and she placed the baby in the ark. And she placed the baby in the river. Just stop and think about how this is being disrupted. She's supposed to raise this baby, but because the way things are out there, she couldn't raise the baby where she wanted to. It was disrupted in the moment. Come on, amen? But God wanted her to trust Him because God's got this thing, amen, that we don't always understand how. But in the midst of it, she wasn't living by sight, but she was living by faith. When she placed that baby, sometimes God just wants you to place that cares that you have and just place it in that ark. Just give Him the reins. Say, God, I don't understand it. And He knows that you don't understand it, but you don't need to understand it. Sometimes those words don't always help. But I want you to know that we have to know that we're putting our hands in the hands of a God that knows all things and sees all things and know. And I want you to see this and see how things begin to change and begin to develop, that she isn't doing nothing about it. She's just being obedient. God just wants your heart. That she let that baby go in that thing. And just think about this. So he goes into another womb. He begins to drift down the river. He's on the move again. Come on, just like us. That here he goes, he's on the move again. God's on the move. He's taking you out of one place into another. So here comes going down. But in the midst of this place, that there's crocodiles. Come on, this was the Nile River. There's snakes in the midst of this thing. And I want you to know that, I want you to know and realize that God's protecting you in the midst that you don't even know what's around you. That what He's protecting you from. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, there's some things that you won't know till you get on the other side, till you realize what God has protected you from. The things that were out to get you, but didn't get you. Come on, amen. Things that were trying to grab a hold of you, but couldn't get a hold of you. Things that you can't see with your own eyes that are behind the cottontails and you're going down the river, but God's got a plan in the midst of it. Come on, He's got His eyes on you when you give your heart to Him. You trust Him. He's got His eyes on you that it's God's in control. I don't know how. It feels like everything's out of control because I can't see what's coming up. I can't see what's in front of me. I don't know what's behind me. I'm just trusting God. Come on, amen. I want to be at the place that I trust God. Hallelujah. Trust God. No, man, he says, man, I don't want to be, you know, when I'm weak, He's strong. See, it's that moment of feeling vulnerable where you're your strongest. Some of the men and women of the Bible understood that like David. He wasn't intimidated by the height of who he was or the height of his enemy, but he understood the height of his God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So, and sometimes it's hard. I want you to know, for us to grow, that we got to understand that sometimes it disrupts relationships. Come on, I want you to hear this. Sometimes it disrupts relationships. Sometimes that in the midst of it, when you got to be willing to let go, and some people might not understand why you're doing the things you're doing, why you're running after God, or you're giving your heart to Him. They might not understand how you're getting there, why you're getting. Sometimes you can't worry about what other people feel. Come on, you can't worry about what somebody else says. You can't worry about anybody. This is between you and God. Amen. When He disrupts whatever it is, you got to go. You got to put Him first and say, I'm not going to let anybody else hold me back from knowing my God and who He is. You imagine what the husband said. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? No. I'm not going to let you disrupt what God's going to do. Why are you going to do this? But I want you to see this. And he says that, am I making sense? I want to try to read some of my notes because I like them. There's another womb. How many guys like certainty? I like certainty. You know the outcome. Come on. I like when things are certain. But I want you to know, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but life is uncertain. See, that's where we gain freedom, when we begin to let God reign, because the uncertainty does not become an obstacle. The uncertainty becomes opportunity when you trust God. The uncertain fear is, we're fearful of the uncertain, of the unknown. But when you live in faith and trusting in God, come on, it becomes a possibility. Amen. God protected him. God protected you when you couldn't fight. When others were out to get you and didn't even know it. They see you, but you don't see them. Amen. Verse 5, and it says, and Moses said, where am I at? Okay, here. I don't know how that page keeps getting turned. And the daughter of Pharaoh, and it says, let me read this down. It says, so here they are. It says, and she laid them in the flags of the riverbank. And his sister stood far off to wit what would be done with him. It says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent for her maid to go fetch it. Amen. And it says, and when she had opened it, she saw a child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this one is a Hebrew. At that moment, it says that she wept, that she fell in love with that baby. I want you to see that we couldn't write this in a book. We couldn't try to dream this up, but God had a plan that was beyond, outside of your scope, outside of our understanding, that God was doing something beyond my reality, what I think things are. But listen, God had a plan. When she set that baby, she wasn't expecting Pharaoh's daughter to be there, but God did. Come on, amen. See, all things work together for good, amen, for those that love Him and that are called. Say called. Called according to His purpose. That, listen, that follow His protective saving grace, that open their hearts up to His protective grace, that we open ourselves to His salvation power, to Him leading and guiding us, that we become vulnerable, say, God, Lord, I'm not going to run ahead, but I'm going to trust You to save me, God. I'm not going to try to save myself or try to find a solution for this matter, but I'm going to live by faith and trust You in it. And this is what God did in the midst of this thing. He caused this woman that was Pharaoh's daughter that was out to kill him to fall in love with a baby that was going to save these children from Israel. Come on, amen. Can you imagine this? The same one, the same father that wanted to kill this baby, God placed His daughter in the midst to fall in love with Moses. Man, I can't get that out of my mind, to think that God's got something in store. But I want you to know that here's where God begins to cause the pain that you go through to pay, that it pays you And as they went on, they says that she seen Pharaoh or Moses' sister standing in the midst, and he went up to her and he says, "Hey," and they asked her if she would take the baby and feed the baby for them, and they'll pay her. Listen, this mother, just a moment ago, felt like everything, she lost everything. But God can turn that around when you open your let go. That all of a sudden, what was hurting her before is paying her now. That she became attached. That God knew how much she had, but she was willing to let go. And God says that pain that you had is going to cause, you're going to pay for it. It's going to pay for you. So Pharaoh was paying her to raise this child. That's only God. Come on, you can't outdo God. Amen? You can't outdo Him. God's got a plan that's greater than our plan. So here He was. And listen, this is the most uncertain thing, that God will use people that you have nothing in common with. There's just some powerful points here that she had nothing in common, that he was a slave. He was born as a slave. And she was a king's daughter. They had nothing in common. But I want you to know that when God puts people together for purpose, I want you to hear this and know that sometimes God will put you together with people that aren't your kin, but are keys to your life. Purpose and plans that God has. Sometimes the most annoying people or the most unthinkable situations, people in your life, that we have to be careful, because they might be the key to your victory in your life. Come on, hear this. They might be the key to it. That we have to be careful on how we respond to one another, to realize that maybe God's using this purpose to bring this person, to bring purpose in your life, to cause you to move on, to trust it again. We have to evaluate the people in our lives and realize that maybe they're bringing out of you what nothing else could, but God placed them there to bring out for purpose. Amen? You all right? Am I giving you a lot here? But listen, he says, and it says, and when he had opened it, she saw him and she fell in love. It says, and then said Sister Pharaoh, and let me jump down here. It says, and daughter said unto her, "Go," and maid went and called the children's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Pain was paid for. Amen. And the child began to grow. I want you to know that sometimes you don't understand. You can see that here this child was uprooted from where he was. But I want you to know that he couldn't ever grow the way that God intended him to grow as a slave. God was bringing him into a bigger surrounding. He wasn't going to be able to grow where he was. Sometimes God will disrupt where you are because you'll never be able to expand and get bigger. So I want you to know that maybe God brought you in a place uncomfortable to expand you. Go ahead and expand. Come on, go ahead and stretch out a little bit by faith. That maybe God brought you in a certain place for a certain purpose that you can get, stretch your legs a little bit. Come on, that you're not confined no more. Don't let your history keep you back from what God has placed you in. I'm going to say it again. Don't let your history keep you back from where God's placed you. Stretch your legs a little bit. So God brought him into this place, but God's got a purpose. And I want you, come on, I'm going to serve this up to you. I want you to see that God brought him there for a purpose. And it says that he began to grow. What did he grow in? I'm going to tell you what he grew in. He began to grow and understand what protocol, kingdom protocol was. He began to grow with dignity, how to stand up, amen? How to stand upright. He began to walk in a different way. He began to learn things he never learned before. He began to become a leader of an army. Come on, he began to know how to lead people, how to guide people, how to direct people, how to send people to go here and go there. See, God was doing something within him. God was raising him up in this place, in this new womb. He was setting him up for something greater. Sometimes you might not understand, but you need to trust God. See, he was growing. He was getting bigger in understanding the ways of the Egyptians. See, but God's got a plan. God's doing something. He's setting him up for victory. Amen? He grew in the palace. He learned that. He began to understand the way things... He learned how to lead a multitude. Do you wonder why he would need to do that? Y'all know the story. He led over millions of people. He'd never learned that being a slave. So sometimes it looks like your history and your past seems like if we stayed under that, if he'd have said, I needed to go back, he'd have never learned how to be a king. So because of that pain, he was learning to be a king. We can't curse our past, because I want you to know it's just an opportunity for a doorway into something else. To realize the pain that we went through, the struggles in your life, we can use it to pay for purpose in our lives. To have understanding. Am I making sense? Come on, amen? See, the enemy wants you to live in a tomb, not a room. He began to learn. He says he could never learn that in that place. But fortunately, something in front of him was going to end up explaining where he was. It says in Moses, oh, I keep flipping that page. There it is again. Come on. It says, and he grew, and he says, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. And she called his name Moses. Say, drawn out. Because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days that Moses was grown, that he went unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied the Egyptians smiting the Hebrew, one of his brethren. He began to, something happened with him. I want you to see that something, this is the beginning of coming out of one womb into another womb. His days are drying up where he was, and he can't fit there no more. This is where he just started to become comfortable. He started to feel good in that big bed. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him next. Come on, if we only knew what was happening next, something might have changed with Moses. He might have thought something else, but I want you to know he didn't. He responded to him. Why? Because he began to experience a culture. He began to become used to a certain culture. He began to live up to that lifestyle, that how things were. But God will disrupt it, because God was only using it for a temporary moment. Amen? But God was going to do something. He had something in store that Moses didn't realize what God was doing. But God was right there in the midst. He was blessed and not cursed. I want you to look at your history and realize you're blessed and not cursed. It's just opportunity for God to get the glory in a minute. How can it be? But I want you to know that that moment it says that he looked at the Egyptian beating on the Hebrew. And one side of him said that, man, I want to take side with the Egyptian because I'm used to the culture. But instincts kicked in whenever he was beating a Hebrew. How can he feel kinship with this Hebrew? He was in the Egyptians, with the Egyptians. But something stirred within him, and he responded to what was within him. He moved at that moment. He couldn't understand it, but he reacted. Because when he seen that Egyptian punching the Hebrew, it was like he was punching him. Come on, amen. He was putting something was coming alive within Moses that was greater than the palace. It was more valuable what was within him. Come on, I want you to know, we got to see what's within us is greater than what we see on the outside. Come on, it's more valuable than what we put value in on the outside. The things sometimes we value so much, we got to trust God with what's on the inside. So the instincts kicked in that moment. He killed the Egyptian and he buried him. And all of a sudden, this is that moment where he was breaking out of that place and he was going into a new womb. God was doing something new and he was on the run. Say, on the run. Time. Oh. You okay? He was on the run. Now he was worse than a slave. He was a fugitive on the run. He didn't know where he was going or how he was going to get there, but he took off running just with the clothes that he had on. And by the time he got to where he was out of breath. And God brought him to a place he didn't realize it, but because he responded to the instinct that was within him, didn't know which way, he didn't have a compass on which way to go, but he found himself at the right place at the right time when you trust God. All things work together for good for those that love God according to His purpose. I want you to know that he opened his heart. He moved in instinct. He didn't understand it, but because of it, he found himself at the right place at the right time. He was entering into a new womb. Come on, let's take a look at this. And it says, and as he went there, it says, and he found himself, he says, and he began to dwell in the land of Midian. Come on. He found himself there. Little did he know that God had his purpose and plan. And when he was sitting there, I'm going to make a long story short, that he was sitting there, he stood by the well. Remember, this was a king, this was a prince. He's sitting by a well, not knowing his direction, his plan. Isn't that the way? It's uncertain in life. Don't know what's next. Come on, do you feel that way? I don't know what's next. I don't know which way to go. I don't know where my next meal's coming, but God does. God does, because somebody's coming down over the hill that's going to set things right. And all of a sudden, here comes this woman. Her name's Zipporah. And she walked up and he fell in love immediately as soon as he saw her. And he went to the house and he became part of this family. And he married her and he had a son. And his son was named Gershon. And that means a stranger in a strange land. Even though he was in this place, he was in a new womb, he could not explain everything. He still felt odd. Check out 1 Peter 4:12. I want you to see this. He felt strange in a strange land. Come on, what to say? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trail, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Next verse. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. That this thing will turn out right, even though you feel strange. Even though you feel like, how did I get here? How's this going to turn out? But I'm going to trust God. And he kept staying in that place. And I want you to know that this is the way God works. I got to share this with you. Come on, you got a second? Listen. He says, listen, he went from one place, he was learning to be a king, but now all of a sudden, he's standing in a place and he begins to, there's a man that was there and he began to teach him some things. He began to teach him how to be a shepherd. I want you to know, because this was something he was going to need to know. He didn't know he needed it, but God knew he needed it, that he was going to have to learn how to shepherd people. He knew how to lead them as warriors. Come on. But now he needed to learn how to be a shepherd, how to hear the voice, how to learn to take hold of them, to feel the sheep run through his legs and be able to look for parasites and fleas and be able to pull them off and begin to bring them to places that are dry and learn in dry places how to find water. That's what he learned in the midst of this. He was in the midst of a wilderness. He knew what to eat and what not to eat. Why was he learning this? Because God had a plan greater than what he thought was in front of him. See, God was going to bring him. He was going to bring 2 million people through a wilderness. And guess what? He was the one to know how to do it, because he was in the midst of this fiery trial. Think it's not strange, because it's going to bring purpose if you stand in the midst of it and you wait patiently upon the Lord. That because of your pain, he knew what it was like to be lonely in the midst of a wilderness. He was going to have to learn to encourage himself. When it's dry outside and there's no flowing water, he was going to learn these things. To learn how to eat out of an old bowl, venison, dirty bowl, and to drink from the wells that the slaves would drink from. He was experiencing something for purpose. God was building something within him that he couldn't even explain himself. Come on, that's what God does. Do you see the picture? You see the greater... I want you to know that someday you'll stand before God and you'll look back at your history and you'll see God. You were there all the way. I want to be open to that plan. I want to be available to that plan. I want to see myself walking with what God had for me and say, thank you, good and faithful servant. So here he was. He was just minding his business, but he's about ready to enter into another womb. And as he was walking, taking care of the ship, just doing, minding his own business, doing his own thing, here was God to disrupt everything. Because here on the top of this mountain, there was a burning bush. And it wasn't going out. It caught his attention. I want you to know that God will disrupt things to get your attention, and we got to turn around and see what it is. And as he turned around to see this thing that he had to look upon, he heard a voice, Moses, Moses. And whenever God talks to us and he declares your name twice, it's speaking of a covenant. Whenever he says your name once, he wants a conversation. But he says it twice, he's asking you to come into a covenant with him. He's saying, come, Moses, because I want something that we're going to do together. Come on, amen. I want you to flow with me. I got some promises. I got something in store that you don't even realize what's happening. But while you're in the desert place, learning how to hear the sheep, I hear the sheep. I hear those ones in Egypt. I hear them crying. I hear their bondage. I hear their pain. And you are in the midst of a desert learning how to lead them while I was hearing them and I was grooming you, getting you ready. God's getting you ready for something. We have to trust him to see what it is. And as he was getting them ready, he said, Moses, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. He says, I don't want nothing between you and me. You got to leave all your history behind, because I'm taking you to a new place. And what I'm about ready to ask you, he says, because I want you to go back to where you ran from. Oh, I don't know about that, but I want you to know you're ready. Because why? Because you know how to sit at a king's table. You sat there before. You know how to get the king's attention. Why? Because you sat there before. See, they wouldn't hear a slave, but they'll hear a former prince. See, I want you to know, your pain will pay. Come on, amen? That he was able to get an audience with the king. He was able to be there. He was able to sit in the midst of the king. Why? Because he understood the protocol. The things you've been through in your life will come to purpose as we trust him. Everything you've been through. Amen? Stand on your feet. So right at that moment, man, when he was standing on the mountain, God was bringing him into a covenant. All of a sudden, things began to make sense. Began to make sense. See, he began to learn the ways of his father. He began to realize that this heavenly father wasn't like Pharaoh. But he was a father. And he says that Moses, just like he asked every one of us, will you partner with me? I don't know if he said, yeah. Partner with him. He says, I want you to be my token. I want you to represent me to lead my people out. I want you to know that every one of us have such purpose that we don't understand how significant our lives are. That what one person that you might touch, that one child that you raise up, come on, to worship God. That one child, that purpose standing in the midst of this, that one person that you hug, that you embrace, that you shared the life that you've got from the Father with, you caused them to rise up from their tomb into a womb. Come on, amen? That you've caused them to rise up. See, that's what God wants to do. That we're to live this life of abundant life, to realize that my life is purpose. Come on, amen? That we get our focus on all the distractions and everything that's wrong and what we don't have. I don't have my job, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. But we got to focus on what we have. And we have an eternal God, a powerful, mighty God that we need to trust. And he wants to use me as his representative. I want you to know that God's going to awaken us to realize how important we might be, small in number. But I look out there inside and I see the value treasures right here that God wants to use for his purpose. Value treasures, the things you've been through, the hurts and the pains. That God is going to use it for his glory, his purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I pray to God, Lord, that we become awakened this year, God, to your hand upon our lives. From the moment we are born till now, God, Lord, that you've had direction and plan. Like, I pray to God, Lord, that we just submit to you. The reins that is in your hands to lead us and guide us to God, Lord, in all that you've had. I pray to God, Lord, that I wake up tomorrow with a new understanding, a new quickening within me, that my life has meaning, my life has purpose. And I'm valued. Lord, I give you the glory and the honor. And Lord, with all our heart, we declare that we are. In Jesus' name. Come on. Listen, I want everybody to come on downstairs. She got some snacks down there. Just come on down and grab a snack real quick and fellowship for a minute. Encourage somebody. Bless somebody and then go do what you got to do. Amen. I love you. Bring somebody next week.